Everyone steps up.
Everybody working. Now challenge each other.
We want. I'll fight for it.
Well, both of us.
Ready to draw. Let's go.
He played the maze, baby. Let's get him.
Mom, put the maze out. Let's get in it. Go, man. Fix it, bust me.
Good Monday morning, Eagles fans. Welcome to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I'm Chris McPherson. Pleased to be joined by my man, Bo Wolf. Bo, did you have a phenomenal Eagles weekend?
I had a great weekend. Not too much Eagles related there, but Nick Foles in the fold this morning. So that's the big news here. OTAs begin tomorrow, so
where's
this will be a great Eagles
Foles,
week.
Your Foles headline. Your
no Foles, Foles barred.
Thank you.
Eagles signing third-round quarterback.
Certainly get him in the fold. More importantly, though, the big news coming out at the end of last week is that LeSean McCoy, you saw a little bit of him in the Eagles Live intro there. You'll see a lot more of him in Midnight Green after he signed a five-year extension. So now that as we go into the OTAs, which you pointed out start tomorrow here at the NovaCare Complex, the only player that's not under contract of the Eagles' nine draft picks is first-round selection Fletcher Cox. And I think there's going to be some movement there pretty soon because you look at the players who have signed. The 10th overall pick, Stephon Gilmore of the Bills, he's already under contract. And I think if you go back just to number 15, Bruce Irvin of the Seahawks, the pick that the Eagles originally owned and then traded to move up to get Fletcher Cox, he is under contract with Seattle. So definitely the ceiling and the floor have been set in that negotiation. And again, folks, it's only May 21st. Typically, the 7th round guys have not even begun to sign at this point. So the new CBA certainly accelerating the negotiations and making it a lot easier. And with the McCoy deal done, with most of the draft picks in the fold, my question to Eagles fans out there, and I'll ask you this, Bo, is what is there for Eagles fans to be worried about at this point? It seems like that we could just sit back and actually enjoy these spring camps, see how the guys develop, see who shines on the field, and it's going to be all positive feelings going into Lehigh for training camp.
Yeah, really nothing to worry about. And also important to point out that even though Fletcher Cox is unsigned, he'll still be a part of these OTAs. That doesn't preclude the guys from working out. So everybody's going to be here this week. It's going to be great to see the full 90-man roster on the field, the roster battles that are going to take place across the roster, most of them sort of in the depth area. There aren't that many starting jobs really up for grabs. And that's one of the things that's been the theme of this offseason for the Eagles, keeping your own guys, keeping the strength of this roster intact, not just now, but for the future as well. Shady signed through 2017. Pretty much every relevant player on this team, all the starters, are signed at least through 2014. The only guy who comes up after this year is Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, then Jeremy Maclin the year after that. But everybody else who really matters is signed for the foreseeable future. The strength of this Eagles roster is great now and moving forward.
Amazing job by the front office. And in fact, it's a job that's been done by the front office that makes one NFL columnists believe that the Eagles are the team to beat going into 2012. Now, you did hear a lot of that last year, so we're going to ask Clark Judge of CBS Sports in just a little bit why he thinks that even after last year's 8-8 season, with all the moves that the Eagles have made so far this offseason, taking care of their own players, why he thinks that they are indeed the team to beat, not the defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants, to win the NFC East. And we're also taking your phone calls here, 215-339-6709. We're going to delve into a number of topics. One interesting thing that's going to take place later this afternoon is that all of the Eagles' offensive assistant coaches are going to be made available to the media. This is something that does not happen typically here. It's something that's going to start happening a little more frequently moving forward. But all the offensive assistant coaches, from Marty Morningwake, who you normally hear from in press conferences, but guys like Ted Williams, who oversees the running backs, you have David Culley with the wide receivers, Tom Mel, you can go all the way down the list. All of the Eagles' offensive assistant coaches are going to be made available to the media later this afternoon. And we want to give you fans a chance to ask what you would want to have asked in these press conferences, in this little roundtable session that we'll have later on today. Who are some of the players that you want to find out more about? What are some insights that you want to glean going into these upcoming OTAs?
Yeah, the way this is going to work is that twice during the year, we're going to get a chance to talk to the assistant coaches, once now and once during the bye week. So yeah, call in 215-339-6709. Tell us what you want to hear from these assistant coaches. Do you want Doug Peterson to talk about how ready he thinks Mike Kafka would be if he needs to step into a starting job, or Ted Williams on the future of LeSean McCoy, stuff like that. Howard Mudd will not be here, so it's Eugene Chung, who's the guy who's running these offensive line drills throughout most of the offseason. He's going to be here. He can talk about guys like Jason Kelsey or Demetrius Bell, how he fits in at left tackle. So a lot of things to talk about with these guys, and it's going to be interesting to hear what they say about some of the players on the roster who we may not talk about too much.
So, and some other news from around the Eagles world that people have been talking about. One thing I delved into a little bit and checked out was from Blogging the Beast, Jimmy Kempsky, who's been a guest on the show multiple times during the season with us in the past, is who are the most valuable Eagles on the team? Who are the guys that the Eagles could least afford to lose due to injury? He had a top 10 list, so we'll certainly look into that and a little bit more. And we'll get into your phone calls. What we're going to do now is take a commercial break. Your phone calls, and in just a little bit, Clark Judge from CBS Sports will join us to talk about why he thinks the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East. So a lot more coming up right here on Eagles Live.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson, home of the finest premium meats and artisan cheeses. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more. Visit Dietz & Watson on Facebook or at DietzandWatson.com to find out how to turn your next barbecue into a grillibration.
We're the mother of all meats.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be free, but it's good for me. But this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long. I need you to save me.
I need you to
save me free.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Do we have a caller?
We have the Zomp Man himself.
Come on now. You gotta
Who else is
going to
lead off the show? Of course, it's got to be the Zomp Man. Mr. Zomparelli, welcome
to the
show. How
about those Bennetts, baby?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm amped up today, man. What's going on, fellas?
Great to hear from you, man. Great weekend, to say the least. It's just great, again, that there's no big concerns hanging over the team when you look at it right now. Outside of Jason Peters, you know, it's been a drama-free offseason. The team is healthy. And we're going to get to see all the guys together on the field. We're wondering if there might be any surprises in the depth chart. We'll talk about some of those roster battles later on. But, again, it's a time where you can sit back and really just enjoy the team, enjoy the development of the team, and then just start to look forward to Lehigh and training camp.
Absolutely, man. I just wanted to take this call to say, you know, I'm very happy with what's going on with the offseason so far. You know, I mean, taking care of your own, I can't stress it enough how important it is. You know, this is the memo that we finally got, you know, taking care of our own, Deshaun, Mathis, Todd Herrmann's, you know, everything. You know, you want to have your players happy. You want to go into, especially before training camp that we're doing this, you want to have them prepared and mentally there, you know, like not like last year where we had to worry about who's not going to show up, who's going to hold out. Getting all this stuff done, I really believe that it's an important case, and this is the Super Bowl formula, one of the Super Bowl formulas. You know, we had a great draft. Now we're signing our own player, signing our own. I mean, it's a really big step. But I do have one question for you guys.
What's that, Zomp?
Okay. Before, I'm going to give a question, and I'm going to give an Eagles chant, then I'll hang up, all
okay.
right? I'm a bit concerned with safety. I'm not concerned because of the Jeremiah Bell or the Laron Landry. I just feel that I like Kurt Coleman a lot, and I know he has to play better, but I feel that Nate Allen, I believe he's going to be a good player. He's shown spots of it. But in my opinion, I just think that he's better in pass protection than he is, let's say, in run support. I just feel that he has to be a better tackler, especially better in the open field. I wanted to know what you guys felt about that. And before I go, I want to give a shout-out to Eagles Nation, my man Chris, and my man Jonathan from Los Angeles. How about those birds, baby? E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! Thanks a lot, guys.
Zomp is getting to the point where he has people asking to give him shouts because they know he's going to be on Eagles Live. Soon,
he
Zomp
always brings it, man.
Zomp is going to have his phone segment sponsored by someone soon. He's going to be like, I'm calling on behalf
of... Let's take
that
up to corporate sales.
Seriously. Safety position, of course, the one nugget of news that came out over the weekend, it was actually on Friday afternoon, it was that Jeremiah Bell, apparently the Eagles and the Jets present him the same offer. He decides to sign a one-year deal with the Jets. The Jets just officially announced it this morning. In fact, to me, the one connection with the Eagles and Jeremiah Bell is the fact that Todd Bowles, who's the secondary coach now for the Eagles, coached Bell in Miami for the past four seasons. So obviously, it would have been someone that you can insert and that would know the defense, but I wouldn't want him here as a starter. You've invested second-round picks in Nate Allen.
And he wouldn't have been here as a starter.
No, and that's the whole premise. You have a second-round pick in Jaquan Jarrett. You need to see, you have Kirk Coleman, as Zomp mentioned, you need to see these guys develop. You need these guys to get their reps. You need these guys to grow and develop. And you got to find out if flat out they can play or if they're going to need something to do down the line. Now, I do think they need to add another veteran for depth purposes because they're a little thin at that spot after those three guys. But nonetheless, I really think you need to see these young guys develop. And I think Nate Allen is by far the best of the three. I think he's a complete package. I think he can cover. I think he's fine in run support. You know, when you look at safeties around the National Football League now, the main emphasis is on coverage ability. That's what you need to be able to stop. You got to stop these explosive pass offenses. I think Nate Allen is more than capable of handling that part of it. Kirk Coleman has played well in times. He had a little shaky start to 2011, but he played well down the stretch. He had that 1-3 interception game, of course, against the Redskins. I think he's a guy that everyone kind of says he's too small. Oh, he's a seventh-round pick. Oh, when's Jarrett getting in there? But Coleman seems to keep proving everyone wrong.
Well, the real hope with Nate Allen, of course, is that this is the second year removed from that torn patella tendon, the knee injury. And we said at the time, usually that's going to take 2 years to get back to himself. He was so promising that rookie season, tore his patella, and he struggled a little bit early last year. Lost a job originally to Jarrett Page, worked his way back into the starting lineup, and by the end of the season, he was playing pretty well. And I think you hope that in this third year, he becomes the player that we thought he was going to be that rookie year. Certainly, as you said, we have the highest hopes for Nate Allen. And Kirk Coleman is a guy who... You know what you're going to get with Kirk Coleman. He really knows the defense. He's going to be in the right place. He's not the most physically overwhelming player, obviously. That's the reason he falls to the seventh round. But he's a guy who you can plug in and play there. And then Jaquan Jarrett is the guy who we hope takes this next step. But if not, Coleman and Allen, we've seen what they can do. And part of it is you think that with the improved linebacker play, plugging D'Amico Ryans into the middle, that a little bit of the pressure is alleviated off those safeties.
All right, obviously I know fans want to talk about the safety position. That's like the one position I think fans still debate to an extent, but at the same time, I'm very confident seeing what these young guys can do and seeing them continue to grow. We're going to take a commercial break, and on the other side, we're going to bring in NFL senior columnist Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. He's going to talk about the Eagles' amazing offseason. And this is a guy who a while back wrote that he thought the Eagles were going to be one of the five teams who didn't make the playoffs last year to get back into the postseason this year. Well, he has even bigger expectations for them now in 2012 after getting the LeSean McCoy deal done. We'll get his insights and more coming up right here on Eagles Live.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go. Exactly.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The event's all points, Monster Jazz, Path of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars tear up Philadelphia, including world champions, Medusa, Monster Mutt, El Toro Loco. Direct from his world finals win, 10-time world champion, Maximum Destruction, driven by Tom Metz. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration, 4-time world champion, 3D, driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, kids' seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
Eagles Draft Live, presented by Philadelphia's own Dietz & Watson. Score all season long with delicious grilling recipes like the Philly Frank, Texas Chili Dog, barbecue sausage skewers, and many more.
We're the mother of all meats.
We want to protect the house.
Right.
But
home security systems can be really expensive. So to save money, we actually just adopted a rescue panther. We find that we don't need to sleep that much.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We are pleased to be joined inside the studio here on Philadelphia.com by one of the preeminent football writers in all of America, Clark Judge from CBS Sports.com. He's the NFL senior columnist, and he's going out on a limb saying that the Eagles, and not the New York Giants, are the team to beat in the NFC East in 2012. Clark, welcome to the show, and why do you think that's the case?
Well, there's multiple reasons that I think that's the case, of course. The first being, obviously, we always say that we have to watch out for to do this, but the rosters, you got to look at the paper, and obviously the players are going to have to go and play and perform, but player to player, the Eagles are just the better team on paper, and we saw that at the end of the season, and in one of their worst seasons, they only had one loss suffered to the NFC East.
So, I don't...
I think we're having some technical difficulties here.
We'll try to get this figured out here. So, not quite sure what's happening there.
Let's hold on a second, Clark. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back on the other side.
Yes.
Concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insight, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go.
Wow, wow, wow.
Brian?
No.
Yep.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. Just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
We had a bunch of players in 2011 want to have a great year. They didn't.
Right.
Who has the most to prove going into 2012?
Well, I'm going to say Michael Vick. And I'm not saying Michael Vick because of the lack of the talent. He's one of the most talented players in the NFL. He got paid a huge contract, $100 million. And so there's a lot of expectations. And I'm basing that on expectations. This franchise goes as Michael Vick goes. Now, one thing he has to do is stay healthy. And a lot of that has to do with his offensive line. If they can keep him upright, keep him in the pocket throwing the ball, this offense is one of the deadliest offenses in the league. Michael Vick is one of the coldest. He's one of the coldest athletes I've ever played against. If he's healthy, if he's on that field, and he can do what he does, the expectations of this team, they'll be in the playoffs. They'll be one of the best teams in the league. But I just think it's up to Michael Vick.
Did you say money and expectations? I have a name. I have a name for you.
Did.
Mario Williams. Mario Williams, you the most sought-after free agent since Reggie White on the defensive side of the ball. And what did Reggie do to Title Town? He brought a title home. So, Mario Williams, you have some big shoes to fill. And let me think, Bruce Smith used to man that position up there. And as Bruce Smith went, so did the Buffalo Bills. Mario Williams has some big shoes to fill up in Buffalo, no doubt about it. What do you think about Peyton Manning over there in Denver?
Well, I mean, when you talk about expectations of money, he falls right into the category as well. And I think the thing with Peyton Manning is the uncertainty of his health. Is can he throw some of the same throws he's thrown before? If he could take that big hit, that first big hit is going to happen, how is he going to react to that? But I think Peyton Manning for that team is a great leader. If he can make those throws and be the vintage, he might not be exactly the same, but anything close to what he used to
be.
Anything close to what he used to be, Denver going to be all right.
At $95 million, they going to let him get anywhere close to that thing? You sure about that?
He gave it to him. He better do something.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhilipLopez.com.
I think that was Philip Thomas, the fake Philip Thomas who was posing as Clark Judge.
Okay, so I guess we'll give a little disclosure here. I've talked to and met Clark Judge a number of times. He's been here on PhilipLopez.com. That was not him. And we're sitting here and we're like, listen, like, this isn't him. So we're trying to politely figure out.
That was Philip Thomas of the Redskins.
but all the phone numbers that we have are all connected here. So
something weird. It's a weird Eagles Live.
It's a Monday. It's a beautiful Monday. You know what? If this is the most drama that the team is going to have, worrying about a fake Clark Judge.
Fake Clark Judge now on
Twitter.
All right, let's go to the phone lines now. We have Alan from Charlotte. Is this the real Alan from Charlotte?
Yes.
What's up, Alan?
North Carolina, baby. Alan Bleeds Green.
Alan, that's awesome.
I can hear it in your
voice.
Great
to hear from you, man.
All right, how y'all doing?
We're doing good. It's that kind of Monday morning. Let's just put it that way.
Oh yes, it's always a great morning. It's a great Eagles Monday morning.
Certainly is. What's on your mind today, Alan?
Everything. Offense, defense, special teams, coaching staff. A good coach would be in mind named Alan Allen, but everything Eagles is always a green day.
Alan, how do you feel about the fact that the best running back in football is only 23 years old and is going to be an Eagle through 2017 at least?
I say the future is looking bright. I mean, the Eagles didn't plan for one season. They planned for multiple seasons. Just keep going and going. You want to build a dynasty. You don't want to do it one time.
I want to do it one time to start. I understand. I know there's a lot of talk of dynasty and stuff like that. But, we want one time. We're waiting a long time here in Philadelphia. Let's just get the one out of the way first at least. So at least start working towards getting that one. So.
Oh, yeah. But you always want to think first. The front, then you want to think ahead. If you can build a team that can do it multiple times, you have multiple shots, even if you don't make it.
And that's how this team is built down. Everybody is signed for a long period of time, so the Eagles are set up for the future, and that's how they've planned it.
Oh, yes. All we need are leaders back now. Donovan McNabb and Brian, Duncan.
Oh, stop, stop. Alan, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Alan.
Thanks for the call, Alan. No, I mean, Dawkins, look, retiring an Eagle, all that stuff is great. I know people are like, can he coach? Can he consult? He doesn't want to do that. Not every player wants to go into coaching or be involved with football. He's taking time to be with his family back in Denver, but he's retiring an Eagle. His number's being retired. That's the most important thing. So we're going to – all right, so let me understand. We're going to break, and the real
we
Clark
think
Jones –
we got the real one. Nice.
We'll figure out what's going on here. Just stay tuned with us right here on Eagles Live.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The events all points. Monster Jazz. Wrath of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars. Tear up Philadelphia, including world champions. Medusa. Monster Mutt. El Toro Loco. Direct from his world finals win. 10-time world champion. Maximum Destruction. Driven by Tom Mix. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration. 4-time world champion. 3-2. Driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, his seats are still just $10. June 9th. Lincoln Financial Field.
I'm really gonna miss you.
My new apartment isn't that far away.
It's more than 2 miles away.
The destroyed Razor Motorola is brilliant for you, Ellie. When you slash Skype,
you're gonna get lost.
This is GPS.
Will that make me feel better?
I'll go get two from the back.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of long weekends and longer retirements. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
You know, weight loss programs can be expensive, so to save some money, I just got the popular girls from the local middle school to follow me around.
Ew. Seriously?
So gross.
Ew. Seriously?
That is so gross.
Ew. Seriously?
Dude, that is so totally gross.
Gross, I know.
There's an easier way to save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Thank you for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we are pleased to be joined by NFL senior columnist Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. And Clark is going out on a limb saying that he thinks the Philadelphia Eagles and not the defending Super Bowl champion New York Giants are the best team in the NFC East. Clark, welcome to the show, and why do you think that's the case?
Oh, my pleasure, first of all. I don't know that I'm going out on a limb, honestly. I know in talking, I'd say maybe about a month ago, to several other writers who cover the league and who I respect, who have been covering the league for a long time, I said, you know, I think the team to beat in the NFC East, not the defending Super Bowl champions. And the majority of them said, I agree with you. And the reason is because it's twofold or threefold. I mean, one is they finished on an upswing the last four games. They won those games. And honestly, I think if you looked at those last four games, you could say you could make a case for the Eagles being the team you didn't want to face in the playoffs. And honestly, I was at the combine, and I mentioned that to a coach, and he said, and this is a coach who was in the playoffs, he said, no question about it. That's the one team I didn't want to play other than the Giants. I didn't want to play them. Secondly, you know, Andy Reid's teams just, they don't have back-to-back bad seasons. And they were 8-8 last year, not necessarily a bad season, but certainly not the season we all expected or most of us expected. They don't have down years and consecutive seasons. They make the playoffs a lot, and they make the playoffs when they come off of an 8-8 season. The last time they came off an 8-8 season, went to the conference championship game. And then lastly, I like what they've done in terms of bringing the whole sort of system of unhappy players and chemistry and sort of dysfunctional locker room together in the offseason. I think, honestly, what they did was they realized last year when we brought all these guys in from the outside, we made a mistake. We made a mistake in this respect. Not that we brought these guys in. We got some talented people. But it disrupted the harmony of a locker room. We had people who felt they deserved the money rather than people on the outside. And they're looking over their shoulders going, what about me? How come? I thought I was the next guy. I mean, DeSean Jackson's one of those guys, I think. And you get someone like Steve Smith coming in. Granted, he didn't get a big contract. But DeSean Jackson saying, geez, I mean, I thought I was supposed to get a big payday. I do think it affected his play on the field. I think it affected the chemistry in that locker room because I don't think it really was any until it was too late. And then I think, you know, it just demonstrated to people in that locker room that we're getting back to what we do best. And I think back to the early part of the 2000s, basically like 10 years ago, when they used to reward the guys who were up-and-comers, the core, young core of that team, with extensions. And it really worked out and it paid off. And they're getting back to that. And I think at just the right time, we know this is an urgent year for that organization, for Andy Reid specifically. I think they've done what they should have done in terms of keeping that talent on the field. They believe they've got the players to win. And looking at that last part of last season, I said, you know what, I do too, because I think that's the team that they should have been all along, but it's too late. But they keep that core intact. You reward them. You keep them happy. Now you've got some chemistry there. You bring in D'Amico Ryans through a trade who solves a situation that you were short of in terms of just the schematic or the strategic part of the game on defense, in terms of tackling and bringing down opposing ball carriers. And all of a sudden you go, you know, this is a pretty good situation. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, but I tell you what, going into the season, that's the team I don't want to face. I think, you know, you look at them again, as I said, it's a down year. They finish one game out of first place. So I just think the situation's right, plus at the division where typically since 2004, the last time the Eagles had consecutive seasons where they won the division, no one tends to win back-to-back titles.
It's a kind of great insight you get from the real Clark Judge. Clark, you talked about chemistry, and D'Amico Ryans is a guy who you brought up. A lot of players on this defense talking about he comes in and can become an immediate leader on the defense, and you've been focusing on chemistry. The fact that this team is now pretty much going to be together for a second consecutive year after everything was sort of thrown together right in training camp last year, talk about just the importance of that chemistry bringing this team together into the next season.
Well, I think it's critical because it wasn't just the team that came together. It was the coaching staff, too. I mean, you had some people come in from the outside last year, offensive line coach, defensive line coach, a new defensive coordinator. Everyone was thrown together for a short, basically a short training camp. The training camp itself wasn't that short. You didn't have OTAs, you didn't have minicamps. So everyone's learning on the fly. And I think that team continued to learn as the season went on. I mean, certainly others were in the same boat. But the Eagles, you brought people in from so many different parts that it really took them three quarters of a year before they finally sort of found themselves. I think now that you've had the off-season work, you've kept that core intact. You've rewarded the players who felt they deserved to be rewarded. I think it's going to pay off. I really do, just because, as I said, and maybe I'm reading too much in this. I know a lot of cynical people that I've talked to around that Philadelphia area said, no, you're wrong about this. But I just feel that those last four games, I looked at and said, you know what? I mean, that was the Philadelphia Eagles I was expecting. They weren't just beating people. They were burying people. Now look at the Jets game. You know, when people say, well, it was the Jets. Hey, the Jets at one point looked like a sure playoff team. They were a team that were the defending conference finalists. They were in the final, the AFC Championship game the previous 2 years. They were 8-5 at one point. They looked like they were heading for another playoff spot, and boom, the Eagles just nailed them and hit them hard. I looked at that team and thought, this is what I expected. And now that you've got the off season, I do think because, as I mentioned before, a sense of urgency. All these guys look at each other and saying, you know what, we now know what to expect. We know what we're playing for. We know we're pretty good because we demonstrated the last part of last year. And frankly, there were games, as you guys know better than anyone else, the beginning part of the year, they should have won, you know, and they found a way to lose them. But they didn't do that down the stretch. And I think this year now they feel as if, yeah, we've been down this road before. We know what the guy on the other side is doing. We know each other pretty well. And there's a feeling of sort of trust within this locker room that may have been missing last year. And maybe that's with the coaching staff as well. We feel better about ourselves because we've got some experience together. And I just say, as I said, I do think it pays off. I mean, the Giants, frankly, listen, I live in New York. The Giants played well down the stretch. But at 14 games, they were 7-7. And people here were talking about Tom Coughlin's going to get canned. Yep. They're going to turn this team over. Well, it didn't happen. It didn't happen for a good reason. They got hot at the right time. The Eagles got hot at the right time, too. But it was a game too late. And as I said, hey, they finished only one game behind the defending Super Bowl champions. That puts them in the ballpark.
Clark, talking about the Giants there, one thing that I was a little surprised by your article was that you went and said the Eagles have the best pass rush in the entire division when everyone knows that the Giants, their defense has been built upon that powerful front four. Why do you give the edge to the Eagles there?
Well, I didn't say the best pass rush. I said they had the most sacks in that division, okay. And that's why. I mean, they had the most sacks in the NFL. They in Minnesota tied, and they can bring it from both spots, obviously, with both ends. And I think that, you know, adding a rookie defensive tackle and Fletcher Cox, they're going to be more solid up front. I just think that there's a pressure they got from that wide nine last year, and they certainly tinkered with that some. But Babin gave them a lot of pressure that they didn't have opposite Cole from the year before. And now that you've got, you know, Cole's locked down, you've got Babin there for years. You've got some new people. I think that it's one of the best pass rushes in the league, no question. The Giants have got a terrific pass rush. But, you know, OC Umanyiora is part of that pass rush, and I've been a very strong supporter of his for a long time. I don't know what they're doing with him in New York. He certainly has got one more year, but he's an unhappy camper. I don't know what they're going to get from OC Umanyiora this year. When he's good, he's one of the best. And when he's happy, he's one of the best. He's not happy. So does he go into training camp again this year, disgruntled? I don't know. At this point, I'd say the answer is probably yes. He wants to get out of here. You've got certainly one of the premier players in Jason Pierre-Paul. And he's young and he's coming up. Justin Tuck should be better, I mean, just because he can be healthy. But Umanyiora is part of that, too. And I don't know where he stands. I know where the Eagles stand. And I know the Eagles don't have the issues with their players that the Giants do with Umanyiora.
Clark, when you look at the Eagles, we all expect the defense to take a step forward next year. They have so many dynamic playmakers at running back and receiver. LeSean McCoy, maybe the best running back in the league, extended through 2017. But still so much depends on the play of Michael Vick at quarterback. So dynamic in 2010. Last year, he got injured a few times. He threw too many interceptions. How do you view the 2012 version of Michael Vick? What do you expect from him?
Well, I think this is a real test for him. I mean, it sounds odd to say that at this stage of his career, but I think this is a real litmus test for him because he's in his third season here. And the expectation is that because of the way he plays his game, he's going to miss some starts. Last year he missed three. Was he going to miss three, four? And if he misses those, who's going to step in? You know, and can they win with whatever they've got in Michael Vick's place? And I think, and I brought this up to Andy Reid at the owners' meetings, yeah, at some point you have to say, listen, we can't assume that anymore. Maybe we've got to change his game a little bit. I covered San Francisco when they did that with Steve Young, when Steve Mariucci came in there, and he said, listen, you're getting on in years. He was a little bit more advanced in his career than Michael Vick, but they played a similar type of game. And wide open, did get hurt. Young didn't miss the starts that Vick has, but he suffered concussions, and for a good reason, played a wide open game. And they said, we're going to have to change it a little bit. We don't want you to completely change what you're doing here, but when you get a chance to run out of bounds, run out of bounds. When you get a chance to go down, just go down instead of getting hit. When you get a chance to throw the ball away, throw it away rather than trying to get the big strike. And I look at what happened the last four games of last year, and all of a sudden, you know, if you guys have the stats in front of you, you see like the rushing attempts for Michael Vick dropped precipitously. I think during the first, whatever he played, nine games, whatever it was, at 10 games, but that he ran almost like eight times a game, which to me is pretty standard for him. I mean, he's a guy who's wide open and certainly exciting, but he ran about eight times. And those last four games, I think he ran like 2.7 times, something like that. So he tailed off there, and suddenly it was like a light bulb went on. Someone either worked with him or said, listen, Michael, we need you in the lineup, because if we don't, we're not really sure we can win these ball games. You're everything to our club. You need to play a more, not conservative, but a smarter brand of ball, because that first half of the season, he was turning the ball over a lot. And one of the reasons is because he was carrying it a lot. Fumbles. He was taking chances, throwing the ball, interceptions. There were turnovers that were killing that ball club. And that's something else that I didn't mention at the top of the show. But you look at all they went through last year, and I'm talking about the players, the new coaches. But, you know, we talk about, for instance, the blown fourth quarter leads. Well, how about the turnovers? Nobody committed more turnovers than Tampa, except one team was close, and that was Philadelphia. Philadelphia was the second most turnovers. We expect that to stop just because Vic's got to take care of himself better, and he's got to take care of the ball better. And I think that's what this year is all about. The message goes to him, listen, we can win with you, playing not so much wide open, but you've got to be in there. You've got to take care of the ball a little more carefully. So if that requires you throwing it away, throw it away. If it requires you running out of bounds, run out of bounds rather than getting those extra 3 yards.
Great insight about Steve Young because Marty Morningweg was there to oversee the transition. And a big thing here in Philadelphia, and Clark, we've been talking a lot about this here, is the fact that this is Michael Vick's first offseason with the coaches as a starting quarterback because, of course, he had the lockout delaying his progress a year ago. Clark Judge, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. You can check out his stuff there. You can also follow The Real Clark Judge on Clark Judge CBS on Twitter. Thank you very much for taking time to join us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Apartment isn't that far away.
It's more than 2 miles away.
This destroyed Razor Motorola is brilliant before you leave. When you slash Skype. This is GPS.
Will that make me feel better?
I'll go get two from the back.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
A concussion is one of the most common head injuries in sports that are caused by a blow to the head. Typical symptoms of a concussion include headache, dizziness, vision disturbance, loss of balance, confusion, and memory loss. An athlete cannot return to play until all symptoms of a concussion resolve and they are cleared by an experienced physician. If you have sustained a concussion or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
Welcome back to Eagles Live. Great stuff there from Clark Judge, the real Clark Judge. We just wish we knew who the other Clark Judge was. We don't know if someone would just clicked in on a fan and a fan just went along with it. But nonetheless, we do have one of our great fans, Chris from Virginia, joining us now here on Eagles Live. Chris, what's going on, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful. Great to hear from you, man.
Yeah, definitely. First, I want to give a shout-out to my man, Zomster, and Jonathan out in L.A.
Oh.
It's a click, it's man. Going,
what is this, the stable? Are you guys starting your own stable?
Yeah, I just want to bring attention. We got a little Philip Thomas situation going on in the chat, too. We got a guy pretending to be Zomp.
Oh wow! This is the day of fake Eagles Live. We got the fake anchors on here.
Yeah, the guy who's using the real Zomp from New York—that's not the Zomster.
So that's not the Zomster. What?
Listen, if he's not typing in all caps, it's not the Zomster.
Exactly. That's how you know right off the bat. That's why everyone realizes that's not the case. So
exactly. Yeah, guys. I want to ask you about the backup running back situation. Who you kind of see kind of taking the reins between Deion Lewis, Bryce Brown, and Chris Polk?
It's a good question, and it's one of the sort of depth position battles that we're going to look at this summer. I think you obviously have to give the edge to Deion Lewis. He was a fifth-round draft pick last year. Remember, he looked great in preseason last year, and he didn't get that many carries as a rookie during the regular season because he wasn't fully up to speed in terms of blocking, in terms of pass blocking. And LeSean McCoy last year led the entire league in snaps by a wide margin. And so I think Andy Reid's not kidding when he says he wants to take the reins off LeSean a little bit. You want to keep him healthy for the rest of his career. And Ronnie Brown obviously didn't get the job done last year. So I think it's Deion Lewis, and then you have Bryce Brown and Chris Polk fighting for that third job. And I would give the edge to Bryce Brown. But, listen, if Bryce Brown really impresses in training camp, he's going to have an opportunity to get some carries. And one of the things I love so much about Bryce Brown coming into the NFL, we talk about running backs and the short shelf life that they have. Bryce Brown didn't take any hits in college, so all of his production, all of his fresh legs are going to be used in the NFL.
Now, on the flip side, you have Chris Polk, who was a workhorse in Washington, has a ton of carries under his belt. But when you compare his numbers and his carries to some other backs who've come in recent years, it actually is pretty comparable. So it's not like he was overused and that players who have that many snaps in college can't be successful at the next level. Polk did play in a similar style offense at Washington under Steve Sarkisian, so his transition should be a little smoother. But first glance at the rookie camp a couple weeks ago, you definitely saw the speed, the athleticism from Bryce Brown. The question is going to be, how does he look when you put the pads on? But again, he hasn't taken that many hits. His body is fresh. He's a guy who was, you know, the top college or top high school prospect, top college prospect a couple years ago along with Trent Richardson. So certainly look forward to seeing him on the field. But again, Deion Lewis, in his limited snaps last year, flashed in certain points, especially in that season finale against the Washington Redskins. This is a guy where you figure if you give him, you know, that big first, you know, offseason here, similar to how LeSean McCoy had a couple of years ago, he should be able to get the pass blocking down a little bit more. He should be able to transition much more seamlessly to the NFL-style play, and you should see better things from him, more polished play.
And that's
from
a good point
season.
That you make. Remember the jump that Shady made from his rookie year to his second year. His rookie year, he was good, but unspectacular. And then his second year, he really came out as one of the best in the NFL. So I think maybe you expect that kind of jump from Deion Lewis, not quite to that level.
No,
but, I mean, Deion Lewis is a guy who broke all of LeSean McCoy's records at Pitt. He's very productive. I think he's a guy who maybe we're underrating in terms of what his impact can be in 2012.
Certainly.
Yeah, I was at that game the end of last season. I really liked what I saw in Deion Lewis. And I like to kind of see a little more. And like you said, Shady made a big jump from his first and second year, so I'm interested to seeing how things pan out. I'm just excited about training camp. And you guys keep up the good job, and I'll let you get on some other callers.
Excellent.
Thanks,
Chris.
Deion is a very decisive runner, and he hits the hole hard, as you see in some of these. And he's undersized, but he runs through tackles. You gotta really wrap up if you're gonna tackle Deion Lewis. He runs hard. He's decisive. He's a guy who I really do think can make an impact this year.
And since he's not that big, he doesn't give you a big target. It's sort of like how LeSean McCoy runs a similar way. He doesn't give you a lot to be able to hit, so he's able to take the punishment, even though he's going against these big NFL players.
All right, back to the phone lines. Silvio from West Palm Beach. Silvio, what's
Woo-hoo.
Going on?
Woo-hoo.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Everything's good. What do you guys think about the whole team right now?
We think
feel good about it. Feel very good about it.
I mean,
I think they did an awesome job in the draft and the off season and signing. You know, signing all the players to long deer. I think they're going to be really hungry this year. The Eagles are, you know, really hungry. You know, because they're not thinking about. You know, contract issues. Everyone's going to go in happy and positive. And I think they're going to, you know, it's going to definitely be a good year.
And there's no question that they have the motivation of everything not going well last year, and they can use that to sort of propel them and going forward. I think that's fair.
Being around the players, you know, the beginning of the off-season conditioning program, even before some of these contracts got done, you still felt just a very good vibe, a very good feeling in the building that, like, these guys were ready to battle for one another. Last year, you can say it was sort of a mercenary situation where guys were coming in and they had really no allegiance to the team, and they were kind of. And it's not that they were guys that didn't want to play for the team, but they just needed that time to bond and gel and figure out, you know, who that guy was across from them, and who's that guy they're going to war with, and who's that guy that's going to, you know, give it their all on Sundays. And I think you have a great, from a character standpoint, great set of guys here in the building. Now you have a ton of football talent. It just seems like the right mixture is in place. You have a lot of young guys who are set to contribute. You have veterans that are looking over everything. The right balance, the right formula, as Clark Judge was alluding to in his interview, the formula seems to be in place there to be able to produce the winning team. They just now have to go out and put it on the field. But this is the first offseason, the first year that I can recall maybe since 2004, maybe the Super Bowl year. And I don't want to throw out the word Super Bowl, but that there have been no off-season distractions. Seems like every year there's a guy that's unhappy with his contract. There's something lingering over the team. There's some kind of drama. You know, the fact that the CBA takes care of the draft picks much quicker now, gets it out of the way. You know, the fact the Eagles are able to, you know, be smart with the cap and re-sign their own players and reward those who have played well for this team for a number of years. It just seems like, again, everyone is happy at this time. Everyone except Jason Pierce is healthy. The draft picks are pretty much all taken care of except for Fletcher Cox, and there's still 2 months to get that done. I mean, the team is in as good a position as you could have hoped for as in a long time.
Definitely, definitely. And I'm, you know, really happy with definitely with Howie Roseman and the way he's, you know,
doing business the right way in the whole Eagles organization. And I have another question. You know, the defense, you know, we had trouble stopping the run. I think this year we're not going to have, you know, I think we're really going to gel the defense and all that. And safety, you know, I think we have, you know, those guys can grow and, you know, they can really, you know, with Nate Allen and Coleman, I think they can really be, you know, good starting safety. But my thing is, last year, you know, we weren't able to score in the red zone. And, you know, too well. And I think, you know, that was our problem. You know, we could have won a lot of games last year, you know, if we could have just scored in the red zone. And
or stopped people guys, in the red zone. Works both ways. Guys,
yeah. Do you guys think that we, you know, we have that big physical receiver for the red zone? Do you think we, you know, should we go out and get one?
I think they're right. I mean, listen, Jeremy Maclin was as good a red zone receiver as there was in the league last year. Most of his touchdowns came in the red zone. And I think one of the biggest problems was they had too many turnovers in the red zone. They led the league with nine turnovers in the red zone, which is just insane. Like, just regression to the mean, there's no way they're going to have that many turnovers in the red zone this year. And obviously the focus on protecting the ball, as Clark Judge alluded to earlier. One of the things I would like to see in the red zone, which we saw 2 years ago and didn't see much last year, was Michael Vick as a runner. I know you want to keep him healthy, and I mean, remember, most of his injuries came inside the pocket.
Yes.
But if you can give him a few opportunities in the red zone to get on the move, I think that's something that may open some areas.
It wasn't until the end of the season that he scored his first rushing touchdowns, and I believe he had nine. I think it was in 2010, so certainly he wasn't as effective as a ground weapon last season. But you have Brent Celek, who's good in the red zone. You've got Maclin. LeSean McCoy, I thought, improved as a red zone runner. He's a guy that I think initially early in the season was doing a little too much east to west, but he improved, I thought, as the season went on in the red zone. And, you know, I think Riley Cooper is a guy that he's one of these guys who hasn't had an offseason with the coaches. Marvin McNutt, obviously, has been very, very effective in the red zone during his college career. I think they're looking to one of those guys to possibly use their big frames. They're both 6'3". They're both over 215 pounds. They want to see one of these guys become, you know, that possible weapon where if they need to throw a ball in tight spaces, which is what you have to do at times in the red zone, that these guys can be able to pluck the ball. I don't think you need to go out and get a Plaxico Burress. That's the one name I know everyone is kind of throwing out there. No, I don't think you need to get him at this point. You got some young guys to develop. Let them develop. And you also, because I think when it comes to Burress, it's a one-trick pony. I don't think he would be really doing much else in the squad at this point. And the fact that no one else is running down his door to sign him, I think,
and maybe that means he'll be more realistic about his asking price.
Probably. That'd probably be the case, too.
You still there, Silvio?
Yes.
Hey, Silvio, we're gonna talk to the offensive assistant coaches today. Is there anything that you'd want to find out from them?
Offensive coaches, what do they think about Nick Foles?
Good question. Yep. We'll talk to Doug Peterson. Make sure we ask him that. Excellent. Thanks for the call, Sylvia.
Thank you very much.
So you guys also call in 215-339-6709. Let us know if you have any questions you want asked of the offensive assistant coaches. Marty Morningweg, Doug Peterson, Ted Williams, David Culley, Tom Melvin, Eugene Chung, Matt Nagy.
Yep.
And that's all of them, I think.
Very good list. Yes, I believe you cut. Do you have Ted Williams in there?
Ted Williams.
Yes. Yeah, we got everyone in there. Certainly.
Got another case, phone call if you want to jump on it. We got Mark from AC. Mark, how you doing, buddy?
Going on, guys.
Good to hear from you, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? I'm loving everything, man. I'm loving the draft. Love how they took care of home. Like I don't have nothing to be mad about.
That's the theme.
Yeah,
they've answered every question.
It's a good time to be an Eagles fan. Let's put it like that, man.
That's fair.
It's definitely a good time.
One thing I wanted to hit on while I got y'all on there.
Go for it.
Now, the draft, these guys, oh, man, the draft was so phenomenal. I'm so proud of the guys we picked. I know these guys are impact players. You see the footage. These guys are raw. It's going to be good.
I think they have a lot of high hopes. I mean, you take a guy like Fletcher Cox. The Eagles were able to get him in the first round, and I remember leading up to the draft, that was the guy that seemed to best fit the system. He's going to be great value, you know, around the area where the Eagles were picking. It was like, could the Eagles actually get him?
As Jim Washburn said, he was born to play in this
system. Yes, exactly. And it just seemed like it was too perfect a match. And it was a position that the Eagles have taken first-round picks over the years. They did back-to-back years with Bunkley and Mike Patterson, 05 and 06. I have them reversed there. But nonetheless, that's a position they've addressed early in previous drafts. That's a position where, look, you have great players now, Colin Jenkins and Mike Patterson, but you could infuse a little bit of youth there. Certainly could need it there. It just made perfect sense. The one pick that surprised me in the second round was Vinnie Curry, because you look at the roster and you have this bevy of great pass rushers already, but he was a guy, again, who what surprised me, or what impressed me most about him in the rookie camp, is it doesn't seem like he's a one-trick pony. He's not a speed guy. He's not a rush guy off the edge. He seems more of a Trent Cole in that he's going to be very workmanlike. He's going to be a guy that can use a variety of moves. He's going to be a guy that can use his power. He's going to be a guy that will be stout against the run. He's not just going to be a flash track athlete coming off the edge here. He's going to be a guy who's athletic enough to thrive in the wide nine and playing for Jim Washburn, but it also seems like he's going to be a guy that can do everything else and to be able to be a well-rounded defensive end. But again, these guys aren't asked to be stars immediately. These are guys that are going to come in and, look, they're going to have some experience in front of them. We'll see now how they play after they've had a taste of the action in the rookie camp, and now they're going to get the full team in here. The intensity is going to be turned up just a little bit starting tomorrow.
The other thing that jumps out when you see Vinnie Curry, he's a big guy.
Yes.
I mean, not to compare guys, but, you know, Brandon Graham is a bit undersized for the position. We have high hopes for him coming up this season. He's going to be healthy. But Vinnie Curry is a guy who looks the part, and I'm excited to see what kind of role they have planned for him as a rookie.
The guy I wanted to hit on is a sleeper guy.
Okay.
We brought him in for an invite. I wanted to, like, know how this guy is doing.
Okay.
The Canadian kid, the kid from Canada.
Well, there was two of them.
There was Shamont.
Well, the linebacker, Frederick.
Plesius.
Yeah, I want to know how he's looking in camp, because he has some good film, a good package film that shows that he's an impact player too, guys.
Well,
I know everybody joked about the whole Canadian Bacon League and all that crap.
Well, that's where they got Phil Hunt.
Yeah,
Phillip Hunt was a diamond in the rough, and I think this guy is something to look at, man.
Well, apparently Frederick didn't open up quite as many eyes because the Eagles didn't choose to sign him after his tryout. The only guy they signed was Wade Bonner, the defensive back out of Mississippi State. So they're going to go to OTAs with the 90 guys on the roster now, no tryout guys. So, you know, maybe he opened eyes that if somebody gets injured down the road, he's a guy that could bring in for training camp. But they didn't like him enough to sign him right away.
Oh, okay. Well, like I said, man, of the rest of those guys, Brandon Boykins was a steal. I was excited about that pick.
Thrilled
Can't
about
wait
it.
To see him.
A lot. I was going to say a lot bigger. A lot of, you know, everyone talked about the size and everything, but he's well built.
Yeah.
He's got a tall frame. He looked comfortable playing in the slot. Now, Coach Reed and Brandon both said that there were little technique things that he needed to improve upon, and they knew that when they originally drafted him. But you saw him shadowing receivers. He used his body well. The kid's a leaper, and I'm sure, have we shown the YouTube clip of him dunking in high school? I don't know if we've shown it on the show. I know I've linked to it in a couple articles, but if you get a chance to look up Brandon Boykin high school slam dunk contest, it's from the City of Palms Classic, which
is dunk too?
The kid. No. He doesn't just dunk. I mean, he puts on a show.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we'll have to get him in here in the studio at some point to talk about it. It is phenomenal. You'll definitely have to watch it at some point. Just if you Google Brandon Boykin High School Dunk Championship, I think, and it'll come up. Yeah, it's ridiculous the kind of dunks that he puts up.
Man, let's keep the good times rolling, man. Go Eagles, man. Have a good one, guys.
Definitely.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Let's take a quick commercial break now, and then on the other side, let's talk a little bit about some of the roster battles we're going to look at throughout the rest of the OTAs and into training camp. And still taking your calls, 215-339-6709.
Seen the signs on the passers-by, something's got to give. Can't be free, but it's good for me. But this good thing comes along, and I can't deny too long. I need you to save me. I need you to save me free.
Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
On June 9th, all the kings of power are coming. The event's all points, Monster Jam, Wrath of Destruction. 16 Monster Jam superstars tear up Philadelphia, including world champions Medusa, Monster Mutt, El Toro Loco. Direct from his world finals win, 10-time world champion Maximum Destruction, driven by Tom Metz. And back for his 30th anniversary celebration, 4-time world champion 3D, driven by Dennis Anderson. Plus, kid seats are still just $10. June 9th, Lincoln Financial Field.
Apartment isn't that far away.
It's more than 2 miles away.
The destroyed Razor Motorola's brave before you leave. When you slash Skype.
You're gonna
get lost. This is GPS.
Will that make me feel better?
I'll go get two from the back.
Okay.
This Mother's Day, get the Droid Razor by Motorola. Only $99.99. The lowest price ever. Verizon.
The audience choice ingredient?
Bud Light!
And here we go.
Looks like Chef Dubois is emulsifying the Bud Light into a foam. What's his competitor doing?
He appears to be having a really, really good time.
A Bud Light reduction for Dubois. And his opponent?
Also improvising nicely. Let's see that again.
Judges.
I like the use of the pressure cooker to tenderize the beef.
But also the use of the cell phone to order the pizza.
That's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Sorry, Chef. We're going to need more ingredient.
Welcome back to Eagles Live, and look, we have a very talented and phenomenal production crew here. Ryan McCann, Sam Howell, Fran Duffy, Tim Harris, even our man Dan, he's manning the chat for us today as a job shadow, but he's doing an outstanding job. So we talk about the YouTube clip, oof, City of Palms Classic, a couple years back. I think it was 97, I want to say, but nonetheless.
I like that 360 it's just, from it's before. Just, that's my gosh, favorite.
I mean, these are legitimate dunks here, and I believe it's the last one the crowd just goes berserk with. I think it's come up right here. It's going to jump over a couple of kids.
Boom! Oh, nice.
I get juice watching it. Very every time nice. I see it, I get juice. So
the Eagles basketball team, they've added a stud.
Yes.
After Jeremy Macklin put up like 50 a couple weeks ago.
Triple doubles galore.
Oh, my gosh.
They are the Harlem Globetrotters. That would be a heck of a battle between the Harlem Globetrotters and the Eagles offseason hoops team with some athletes on there.
Yeah,
they don't ever lose. They don't ever lose.
I'd also like to see the Eagles also could put together a pretty good baseball team. DeSean Ooh. Jackson would have been a first-round pick, ended up a second-round pick, high school outfielder. I mean, imagine his speed playing in center field. Unbelievable. Michael Vick was drafted. Todd Harriman's threw a no-hitter in high school.
It was one out short.
Oh, that's right.
One out short of a perfect game.
There were a couple
game.
Other, you know.
Riley Cooper drafted twice.
Riley Cooper, of course, drafted. There's a couple other, someone else who was drafted, I think. But I have a one-up on Todd Harriman's. I finished my no-hitter in high school. So, Todd, come at me if you want a little advice. But this Eagles team, they have a lot of all-around athletes. Pretty good.
Yes, certainly that's the case. And there's obviously very good athletes right here.
Yeah, give me that. I got the wing.
Yeah. Speaking of features, actually, our own Ryan McCann, what issue of – is that the Daily News that you were featured into? Was it Sports Week or is it just the Daily – Sports this week's Sports Week, produced by the Philadelphia Daily News and Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly.com.
What is it? Computer Geek? Is that?
Yeah. Geek Guru.
Geek Guru. Ryan McCann.
You know, in charge of the multimedia or helps run the multimedia for the Eagles. So Ryan McCann getting his beautiful mug in there. So certainly very, very impressive. Now he's showing us his outstanding footage. Of what he gets to do. So.
All right. Marcel from ATL on the line.
Marcel, what's up, man?
Hey,
what's
going on? How y'all doing?
Doing real all good. Right. Great to hear from you today, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Listen, you guys touched on something earlier today that I thought was pretty key.
Okay.
And that is talking about how this is the first time in a while that we're actually, as a team, are going to go into training camp with no issues. Not like... No controversy.
No.
You know.
It's true.
And it got me to thinking, and I'm looking at this team, and I'm saying to myself, you know, they pretty much got everybody sold up. And next year, who would be the ones that would need to be, if they can sew up Jeremy Macklin next year? Because I feel like if anybody who's going to have a breakout year it's going to be Jeremy Maclin.
And I totally agree with that, because think about last offseason, the guy was fighting for his life.
He was dealing with. Yeah, he was sick, and he still was, you know, he was still above average for a guy who was having some sort of life-threatening or could potentially life-threatening condition. And he still did okay, but he wasn't at the Jeremy Maclin. He knows it, and I could tell that he's probably going to be looking to make a statement.
Marcel, I completely agree with you. Yep. I think Jeremy Maclin is the guy who takes that leap this year.
And the scary part is he's flying completely under the radar. No one is talking about him. No one. And if we can get him signed next year, you know, at the end of this season, because truth be told, I'm not in Atlanta. I catch it down here. But I've been telling everybody, we're winning the Super Bowl this year. Something's telling me. And not only are we going to win the Super Bowl, but I think we're going to win a couple of Super Bowls, because we've got some young guys who are going to be signed for years. They're going to be together for years. And there's a nice little mix of older folks and older players on the team that will help, you know, kind of stymie a little bit of but help keep that jelly going real good.
Marcel,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just, you know, let's win the first one first. Yes. You know, you're the second guy to call and say we're looking at multiple Super Bowls. Let's get the first one first.
Right, I feel you. You're right. You're absolutely right, but I'm calling it.
All right.
So when it happens, you know, you can't hate ATL Marcel. Call
well, remember.
It.
There we go. No, fans can be like that. But I think even most fans are at the point where, like, look, let's just get that one.
We don't want to get into Miami Heat territory. Not one, not two, not three.
Exactly.
As a fan, it is my job to say what the people in the buildings can't say. I say it for you. Right. I have no problem. I keep batteries in my pocket. I'm a true Eagles fan, and I will say it.
Leave the batteries at home. Leave the barriers at home. No, we don't need any battery talk, to say the least, Marcel. But, hey, that's a phenomenal point you made about Maclin. Thank you very much for the phone call. You talked to Maclin. He was taking part in the Philadelphia High School All-Star Classic a couple weeks ago. You had a chance to talk to him right before that. What did he weigh last year, and what is he? I remember he's over 200 pounds now.
Yeah, I think he was at 195, 197 during the season last year, but during the offseason he was down below 180. Because he couldn't keep any food down. Now he's up to about 203, 205. And, you know, he's the last player on this team who's going to make excuses. He's a guy who is all about personal responsibility. But, you know, he got nicked up and hurt for really the first time in his career last year, missed pretty much four games. And it's hard not to link that back to him not being able to really work out in the offseason. He didn't have any preseason games. Barely, you know, his first game he played was week one in week two, ended up having 13 catches for over 100 and something yards. But I think he acknowledges that this offseason he's been working hard every day. He's been here almost every day catching passes. I think he's really going to be in for a big year. If I had to bet on anybody taking a big jump, it would definitely be Jeremy Maclin.
He's one of my favorite guys in the locker room, and I feel like he doesn't get enough love, quite honestly, from Eagles fans, because he goes about doing everything the right way, because of the fact that, you know, like you said, he doesn't make excuses. He doesn't complain. He's not a flashy guy. He's a workmanlike guy, but he puts up big numbers in tough situations. I can't put two and two together as to why he doesn't get more love from Eagles fans. I know DeSean Jackson is the sexier, flashier touchdown maker. You know, LeSean McCoy's got the personality and the shady bounce and everything going for him. Michael Vick is just one of the most unreal athletes that we've ever seen. But Jeremy Maclin is right up there with them, and I'm not sure why he doesn't get more acclaim.
The other interesting thing about that interview, as to what Marcel brought up about his contract, somebody asked him, you know, are you thinking about looking for your contract? And in typical Jeremy Maclin fashion, he scoffed, saying, "I got 2 years left. Like, that's the last thing on my mind." And that's what Jeremy Maclin is like. He's focused on the game. He's not worried about that stuff. And I think, you know, that's going to happen. Jeremy Maclin's going to be an Eagle for a long time.
Certainly hope that's the case. Now, let's talk about the guys who are in the contract situation, and there really is none going to this season, but looking beyond, really, Jeremy Maclin obviously would be in 2014. Next year,
Dominique is the only guy. I mean, you know, we like Antonio Dixon. We think he can be a good player. John Dornbos and you know, King and Darryl are good backup guys. But Dominique's the only guy who going into this year.
The starter, the key starter that you're looking at who could possibly sign long term. And, you know, his situation is he came in last year. He was acquired for Kevin Cobb. He was supposed to be hailed as the cornerback opposite of Asante. Because remember, 2010, one of the big issues with the defense was the lack of a quality starting corner opposite of Asante Samuel. Ellis Hobbs, who got injured, even though he wasn't, you know, prime guy in there. Then you had Demetri Patterson, who he flashed at times, but, you know, over the course of the season just wasn't able to be a consistent enough guy. You finally had a legitimate guy opposite Asante. And then as he's driving up to Lehigh after he arrives from Arizona, the Eagles signed Nnamdi Asamoah. So all of a sudden he gets to be the third guy of the big three, so to speak, and he's put inside in a position where he's never played before. And look, they tried to make it work. He didn't make any excuses, you know, but it just wasn't the right fit. And then when Asante got injured late in the season, you saw Dominique on the outside, and he just looked so much more comfortable, played so well at the end of the season. You hope to see that. And you know what? It's not bad having that contract as a carrot dangling in front of him. Not a guy certainly who's going to be complaining about it, but just having that little bit of inspiration there to push him forward this year.
Absolutely. We can go back to the phone lines now. We have Mario from Compton. What's going on, Mario? Out in Michael Kendrick's area.
What's the deal, bro? What's the deal, C-Mac?
Mario, it's great to hear from you, man. Also, Curtis Marsh, not too far from there as well.
Kendrick's is, he's from Cal. That's kind of around the area. But, yeah, I didn't call to talk about how much I love the draft. I didn't call to talk about how much I love this roster, because everybody talks about that. Let's talk about this offensive line now.
Okay.
A lot of people have questions about the tackle. You know, Jason Peters is out. But in free agency, the coaches went out for Bell, and they kind of got the guy who they wanted. So my whole time being an Eagle fan, we always had kind of a little offensive line problems, you know? And then this guy, Howard Mugg, comes in one season, starts off with a rookie center, rookie guard, and a free agent guard. He turns them all into ballers. Now, Jason Peters is out, and Jason Peters is like kind of the only one that stayed at his position. And now he's considered one of the best at his position. Todd Harriman, man, that was always one of my favorite offensive linemen from the Eagles. So I think a full off season with Bell, I think we might be pretty good with Mudd and Bell.
Mario, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is something I talked about with Evan Mathis. Even though the team lost, the offensive line lost probably their best player in Jason Peters, mm-hmm. I expect a jump up from this offensive line, because as you said, listen, Todd Harriman's first offseason working as a right tackle. Danny Watkins and Jason Kelsey, first offseason really working in the NFL. They were rookies thrown right into the mix in training camp. Evan Mathis, first offseason working with the Eagles in this system, a year in the system under his belt. And Demetrius Bell is a guy who, as long as he's healthy, is as talented as most of the left tackles in the league, an athletic freak, and a guy who perfectly fits what Howard Mudd wants at that left tackle position. I think this offensive line, which was very good last year, can be even better this year, even though they're losing their best player.
Man, the offensive line is going to be bananas next year. But, yeah, and one more thing I just want to say. I really, really, really would like if the coaches get Brent Celek way more involved. I mean, just like where defenses have to focus on Brent Celek. Because if they focus on Brent Celek, that opens up doors for Macklin. And if they start focusing on Macklin, that opens up doors for Deshaun. And you're looking at Deshaun, we hit you with McCoy. And McCoy will just kill you. McCoy will just kill you. And on top of all that, Vic could scramble like nobody else. And, man, it's gonna be crazy next year. I'm glad I'm an Eagles fan, you know.
We're glad you are too, Mario. Yes, thanks for the call.
Mario, thank you for the phone call. Brent, that's something we could talk to Melvin about, because early last season, you definitely noticed that Celek was used more as a blocker. Then I think it might have been the Washington game in Washington where he had that red zone touchdown, and you sort of started to see him a little bit more and more involved with the offense, and it definitely changed the character. You definitely saw it work more efficiently. It was a guy that Michael Vick seemed to have a lot more faith and trust in, what have you. But I think they basically did take the reins off and let him go out there and do his thing, work in the middle of the field, being the offensive weapon that he is. The thing is that he's just so good as a blocker as well that when they need that extra offensive lineman, he's a guy they can count on to chip in those situations.
Brent Celek is so important to how this offense functions because it's the constant chess game. As Daniel Jeremiah, the former Eagle scout who's now working for NFL.com, said, last year defenses against the Eagles played their safeties as deep as he'd ever seen because DeSean Jackson can beat you over the top. So that's what defenses wanted to stop. That leaves the middle of the field open, and that's where Brent Celek can exploit it. That's what happened at the end of the season. So if Celek is beating you, then they bring the safeties up, then DeSean can hit you over top. It's that constant give and take, and if Celek can be running wild over the middle of the field, and you know a guy like Jason Avant can do the same thing, if they're beating you there, then maybe that opens up DeSean Jackson for the home run. It's that constant balance, and when this offense is functioning on all cylinders, that's what's going on.
That's a great point because I almost feel like as the season went on, because DeSean wasn't quite DeSean as he had been in previous years, that the safeties were starting to come down. Because LeSean McCoy is having his breakout season, you know, Celek was starting to do his thing in the middle of the field, that you did start to see those safeties come down. And I don't feel like the Eagles were able to take enough advantage of using DeSean over the top. So now that you have a more focused and more refreshed DeSean Jackson, Vic having the full offseason here as a starting quarterback, his first since he was an Atlanta Falcon back in 2006, I believe, I hope that they will be able to take advantage and get some more of those home runs. You started to see it late in the season. You started to see some of those big plays, but you certainly didn't see the abundance of them that you had expected going into last season.
All right, Steve from Alabama on the line. Steve, what's going on?
Bo, Chris, what's up, man?
Steve, good to hear from you, man.
Oh, man, just to bounce off that last caller, I do expect that offensive line this year to keep Michael Vick upright. A lot of the time, I expect it. It's a must this year because Michael Vick has to stay on the field. I'm very excited about what we've been doing, man. Like, the draft was successful. Offseason was successful with taking care of our own. I mean, free agency. D'Amico Ryan, they brought in linebackers. They're answering needs that we needed. And they're building us up for the future. I'm loving the move. Excited. Only question mark that I have really is backup running back, safety. That's my only question. But I feel that the people that are there can step up. I mean, what's the guy from Temple?
Jaquan Jarrett.
Jaquan Jarrett. We're going to see what he finally gets an offseason. You know, see, a lot of people they forget that the people that came in last year, they didn't have an offseason.
Of course.
So now, hopefully, this is basically his first offseason along with Casey Matthews.
We're
going to see what they're really made of, honestly, right now.
Yeah, we were talking about that we were going to look at some of the roster battles. With the offensive line, the one thing, again, with Vic and Bo, you mentioned this, is that all of his injuries last season came playing within the pocket. So it's interesting because a lot of the perception is that, you know, Vic runs wild and he keeps plays alive too long and he's trying to use his legs to extend plays, but it seemed like they were pretty much everything happened from within the pocket. Nonetheless, I do expect the offensive line to be much better because you have four of the five guys who are gelled together. They're going to have the whole offseason. And quite honestly, look, Kelsey has been here every day. Watkins has been here every day. Harriman has been here the whole time. Mathis has been trained. He owns a training facility in Scottsdale, and certainly he's the type of guy who is not going to rest on his laurels after finally getting that big contract that he's waited so many years for. So I expect big things from him. And look, Demetrius Bell is a guy that Howard Mudd gave it the stamp of approval to. It's a guy that the Eagles were targeting. They felt they got the best possible replacement for Jason Peters, and that when they compare their situation to other teams, they're as good a situation offensive line-wise as they could be. Safety, again, I think you have to let these young guys develop. When you build your roster and you project the team for next season, you can't just simply say, look, we were deficient at a position. What can we get in the offseason, free agency, and draft? You have to look at the guys that you have and say, where is there room for upside? Are there guys that can grow? Are there guys that can develop? Are there guys that are going to take a step forward? And I think there is still plenty of upside for Jarrett, Allen, and Coleman. It's just now is the time that they have to go out there and produce and show that they can do it.
And Chris, I'm glad you said that because those are the only two players that are the question. I expect this year
the two people I expect this year that came from injury, Brandon Graham, Nate Allen. I expect Nate Allen to come hard this year because he, during the final games last year, I saw it. I saw him come, and I loved it, man. I loved it, and I just expect him to have a good. I expect him to have a good year. He knows the speed of the game. He knows the defense now, and now it's time for him to just explode on that free safety end.
Steve, thanks for the call, Steve.
Great stuff. Thank you very much for the phone call there. I think Nate Allen has a ton of potential, plenty of upside. I'm a big Nate Allen fan. You know, we got to see in some flash. I think the Buffalo game he was outstanding in last season. It's just now a matter he's got to put out there on a consistent basis, and I just don't think he was able to physically last year. I think he was almost forced into the lineup last year because Jarrad Page just could not get the job done at safety. He just wasn't a good enough tackler. There were times where Juan Castillo and Johnny Lynn or whoever drew him up to be in the right situation, the right spot, and he wasn't able to make the play, the most simple of plays. So I think that Nails, who were forced back from the knee, wasn't quite 100%. Now he's going to be fully healthy. Now he's going to be fully experienced. He's going to get that year of offseason. And I don't want to keep using that, and I know everyone's going to use that as like the excuse, oh, we get the full offseason, but I really think you can't discount it as you look at this team moving forward.
All right, so organized team activities, full OTAs begin tomorrow, Tuesday. Let's talk about some of the roster battles that we're looking forward to seeing how they play out over the summer. We've talked about safety already, so we don't need to talk about that too much. One of the things is backup quarterback, because Michael Vick, last year, you know, the Eagles were hurt when he was not on the field. Is Mike Kafka going to be the guy? Can he come out and really impress us over these spring practices and into summer and training camp? If he's ready to be the guy, great. If not, maybe Trent Edwards pushes up. I think it would be a real surprise if Nick Foles became the number two quarterback as a rookie. He's sort of penned in as the third quarterback right now, and Kafka certainly is the odds-on favorite to be the number two guy with Edwards as the odd man out. But listen, it's up for grabs if Edwards can go grab that. But the only real starting job other than safety that's up for grabs is the weak side linebacker position. Well, that's unfair because I'm penciling in Michael Kendricks.
I am as well.
To be the opening day starter at the Sam position, which then slides Jamar Chaney into the competition at will, although he's not going to be a participant in these offseason practices, as Andy Reid said. That leaves Brian Roll and Casey Matthews. Brian Roll, the incumbent, but Casey Matthews, the higher draft pedigree, was taken in the fourth round, put in the middle linebacker position. Now I think he's better suited to play the weak side position. What do you think about Roll and Matthews and Chaney into the mix as well? And you know, we can't forget about Keenan Clayton and Moses Fokeh and Akeem Jordan.
The thing to me is, what do the Eagles want from the weak side linebacker? Typically, you have your most athletic in-space linebacker playing on the weak side. And when you look at Casey Matthews, he's not the fastest guy. The fact that he told me in his interview that he's up to 250 pounds, that sounds a lot like a guy who's suited more to the middle. But I appreciate the way that Casey handled himself last year after being thrown into a very, very difficult situation. He was, you know, a fourth-round pick who was handed the starting middle linebacker job without a single practice, playing in a brand-new scheme with up front with the wide nine. I just thought it was a very brand-new coaching staff on the defensive side of football. I just think it was a very difficult transition for him. A lot was asked of him. Fans were on him early because he wasn't succeeding, you know, but he handled it the right way. He used his days off to be in the film room. He took the time to relearn the defense, and he got rewarded by getting back on the field and defensively at the end of the season. That's why I think he's a guy who I definitely could envision taking a step forward. Brian Roll was a guy who flashed from early on in training camp, and it was pretty evident early on that this was a guy that was not just going to make the roster. You were going to have to find a way to get him on the field. I certainly would still expect him to be in the mix. I just feel like you've made the linebacker core so much better just with the addition of D'Amico Ryans alone, that those two positions on the outside are going to be better because of the presence of Ryans in the middle. I agree. I believe Kendricks will be the starter on the strong side. He looked every bit the part that you would want from your Sam linebacker in the rookie camp. Obviously, look, pads got to go on. I understand all that. He's got to be able to compete against, you know, he's competing against, you know, Aaron Flugrad and McKay Jacobson,
right,
you know, on those crossing routes. Now you're going to have Jason Avant, you know, guys who are more polished, faster guys coming across at you. he's got to be able to prove he can keep up with those guys. But the weak side, I definitely agree, is open. To me, I see Matthews. I see Roll. Chaney, I feel like he's been kind of, he's a Mike linebacker. That's where he's played the best at. I almost wonder if he's going to be the backup there, maybe the backup on the strong side, and then the other guys will challenge for the Will spot. That's kind of how I'm going to initially kind of see how this will unfold.
It'll be interesting. I wouldn't count him out at the weak side. And you just look at the pure numbers at this position. I think you would assume that, you know, Kendricks, Ryans, Chaney, Roll, and Matthews are going to be on this team barring injury. I think they're only going to keep six linebackers. It's so early to project that. But you've got, you know, what a number crunch with Moses Foku, Greg Lloyd, Keenan Clayton, Akeem Jordan, and even Monty Simmons in there.
I don't know if Matthews is a lock. I think you still have to be able to see him produce on the field. I think he.
I would be flabbergasted.
I think he's in.
Yeah,
but I don't. I'm not going to say, you know, let's lock it in today that he's on the team.
I think Matthews has a safer spot on the roster than Jamar Chaney right now, but we'll see. Well, you know, there's a long way to go.
There's a long way to go.
The other position on defense with a big number crunch is defensive line. How many guys can you afford to keep? There are so many talented players there. You've got Cole and Babin on the outside. Then Curry and Grammer are going to be on the team. Phillip Hunt was so promising last year. Daryl Tapp is a reliable guy. And then inside, you've got even more numbers at defensive tackle. Patterson, Jenkins, Cox, Landry, Thornton, and Dixon. Can you keep 11 defensive linemen? I think you might have to.
What's going to be interesting tomorrow is who is lining up at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Mike Patterson's not taking part in the OTAs. Obviously, he had the surgery to correct his the brain AVM condition that he had that we discovered at Lehigh last year. So he's not taking part in these OTAs. You assume Colin Jenkins will be the one spot. I would not be surprised if you put Fletcher Cox, if it's just to even get the reps.
Exactly. I think my guess is Cox to give him the reps. You want him working on those reps. Although Antonio Dixon's probably more of a nose than
Correct.
Cox. But you said, you know, you looked at this during the rookie camps. Cox was getting reps as a nose tackle. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there.
They think that he can play any position within the defensive line and tackle, nose, technique-wise, they think he can do it all. They think he's going to be so versatile. He's 21 years old. They think he's still going to easily add 15 to 20 pounds and still be as athletic as he showed during the rookie camps. The Eagles are very, very excited, not just by the pick, but what they've already been able to see from these rookie camps. That's the one area I would not be surprised to see tomorrow is if he's already inserted along with that first-team defense. Outside of that, I'm trying to think of any other possible depth chart surprises.
Well, does Brandon Boykin push Jose Leo Hansen? I mean, tomorrow Jose is going to be the nickel guy, and Boykin will be the number two. But over the course of the next few months, does he push him there? It doesn't sound too sexy, but I'm interested to see how the backup offensive line looks. There's a lot of interesting guys who are sort of Howard Mudd type guys there. Julian Vanderveld, you got Brandon Washington, and guys like Steve Vallos in the middle there. Dennis Kelly and King Dunlap, how is that going to shape out? I didn't even mention Mike Gibson.
DJ Jones.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. And then also so many numbers at wide receiver. Can they afford to keep six receivers again? Is Chad Hall fighting for his life once again for the third consecutive year? You know, McNutt's going to be on the team, I assume. I think McNutt and Cooper are probably both going to be here. But it's not set in stone. You know, Marty Gilliard is a guy who was a second-round draft pick and factors into the return mix here.
I think it was second-round pick.
Not second-round.
Fourth-round pick.
But is he a guy who can surprise us now with sort of getting his career back on tracks? And Damaris Johnson, who was so impressive in rookie camps, is he going to still be impressive? Is his speed still going to play when they're going up against the first-team defense? A lot of interesting things to look at here.
One thing with Gilliard is that he thrived his rookie season playing for Pat Shurmur there in St. Louis. They went to Josh McDaniels. I don't know what exactly the conflict was. Things didn't work out for him in St. Louis. He's here in Philadelphia, has a fresh start, didn't play in the league last season. He was a guy that it was electrifying to watch playing for Cincinnati. Cincinnati guys just come here and thrive.
Exactly.
I mean, what can you say? Trent Cole, Brent Celek, Jason Kelsey. Why not throw Marty Gilliard into the mix there?
All right, so let's take a quick break here on Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. probably close things out on the other side unless you want one more chance to call in. 215-339-6709. Last chance until next week here on Eagles Live.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
What? You got a dog?
Yeah, he's a rescue dog. Name's Wego. What
kind of name is that?
Call him.
Here we go. Wow,
wow, wow. No.
Yep.
Here we go. Here
we go.
Here we go.
It's the sure sign of a good time. It's just right taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
An ankle sprain is an injury to one or more of the ligaments around the ankle, usually involving the outer aspect of the ankle. Ankle sprains occur from rolling the ankle during an athletic event. The severity of ankle sprains can range from a stretch injury to a partial tear to even complete tears of the ligaments. If you have sustained an ankle injury or any other sports-related injury, make an appointment at Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the leading providers of orthopedic care in the region.
I'm the number one overall pick of 2001, and you're watching Eagles Draft Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
He's rolling. He's going to run. He's at the five. He dives. Touchdown! 11-yard scramper by Michael Vick for the touchdown.
Here we are, me and you, on the road. And we know that it goes on.
You're the boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
After enduring multiple rounds of auditions, the squad is set. Let's go behind the scenes of the 2012 Eagles Cheerleader Calendar Show.
Phenomenal. The first part was a little scary though. I was actually standing on this, and I'm usually not afraid of heights, but at this point I was, because I was really high up here and I was afraid I was going to fall face forward. So I had a guy holding my hand in and out. And then after that, we actually went to the beach, which I felt way more comfortable because I have shot on the beach before, and it's gorgeous here in Bahamas.
Here at the Wyndham Resorts, we've actually utilized a lot of the lagoon areas, the beaches, the wakes. With sunsets, beautiful palms that we have here. It's been a lot easier to, you know, put girls in a natural environment to actually produce a product that's actually beautiful.
My shoot was amazing. I had the opportunity to shoot in the lagoon and I was just all wet the whole time. It was an amazing shoot. It was just so much fun. This year my swimsuit is 67% bamboo and the rest is organic cotton. And it's just, you know, white, it's comfortable, and you know, it's the first time I shot in a white suit, so it was a lot of fun.
We brought a lot of natural different colors, a lot of natural materials. You'll see braids into the hair. Obviously a lot of the natural tones, staying with the beautiful backdrop here. A lot of golds, a lot of very natural hues of color we've been working with. You can also see a lot of different natural fabrics into the hair that we've incorporated.
The theme for the calendar is actually eco-friendly. So what we're doing is we're combining the colors of the corals, of the bikinis, with the palms, the beautiful aqua water that we have here, the beaches, just to, you know, kind of bring a palette that makes this calendar a really well cohesive, thought out product.
Myself and all the other cheerleaders are wearing eco-friendly swimsuits as well as eco-friendly accessories.
Because our theme is the importance of clean water, the Philadelphia Eagles will be donating 10% of all calendar proceeds to the Clean Water Fund.
The Wyndham Nassau Resort is very excited to have the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders here with us for this week. Our guests have been very excited about the opportunity to interact with the cheerleaders, to watch them as they have their photo shoots, but also the cheerleaders have been just normal guests here at the resort.
On the last day of shooting, the crew took to the Ardestra Gardens and Zoo, where the rookie squad members got their first taste of modeling.
Honestly, everything's been so crazy but so much fun. I couldn't ask for any better rookies to be on the team with me because they've all made it a great experience. And then the veterans too. We traveled with Evie and Tiffany and they were so nice. And they gave us so many tips about what it's like to be on the team and, you know, how to make your experience great. So it's been really awesome.
It's super exciting. I'm so grateful and lucky to be here. I think it's so great that they brought us out here. And I've never been to the Bahamas before, so it's really great to see and travel the world.
That just caps off a phenomenal Eagles Live. Brilliant job by Ryan McCann, Tim Harris. Just had the very, very tough job of filming.
I had a good line, but I'm not going to say it. Go ahead.
I can only imagine. Shannon from Fort Lauderdale, my man, checking in. What's going on, boss? Haven't talked in a while.
Hello, what's going on, good brothers? How you guys doing today?
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. And oh, you can't hear you?
I cannot hear him, no.
Can you hear me?
Nope.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep. There you go.
All right.
Guys, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
hear
you.
All right. All right, so Clark Judge from CBS Sports joins us. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm excited about this line, man. You know, I'm not going to talk about the Super Bowl and all that stuff. Of course, that's our end goal, but I think we have to take 11 on the D-line. The thing I love about it is you got Fletcher Cox, who he could play inside or out. You got Cullen Jenkins, who can play inside or out. So, I mean, I think Vinnie Curry I know he plays defensive end, but he may be able to play, you know, both inside. I mean, the versatility is crazy on the D-line. You know what I mean? Just excited about that.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see. I mean, and listen, Jim Washburn loves to rotate those guys in and out, and you use that versatility. And guys like, you know, I talked to Trent Cole or Jason Babin, and they say they were as fresh at the end of last season as they've ever been because of that rotation. And it keeps you know, the wins keep going after the quarterback. It's really an effective thing when you have this many guys who can get after the quarterback.
For so many years, it seemed like that's what the Eagles have wanted to do. This is going back to the Jim Johnson years. They wanted to have that variety of pass rushers so that late in the season the guys would still be fresh, but you would have an injury, a guy that wouldn't quite develop the way you would have planned, and that def would never work out. And I remember it would be a guy like Jaquay Parker, here for so many years, and he was a guy that you were like, if he could be on the field for just, say, third down situations, be a guy that he could thrive, but he was always thrown into the starting role and kind of had to wear down during the course of the season. To have guys like Trent Cole and Jason Babin be fresh at the end of the season when you're gearing up for what hopefully will be a deep playoff run this season, it's going to be crucial to the team's success, and that's why it's not going to be a surprise to see the team keep an extra assortment of defensive linemen, ends, tackles, what have you on this roster this year.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Guys, I mean, of course, I think the offense is a bonus, and I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. I think this defense has the potential to be one of those defenses that only allow like 80 to 90 yards rushing a game and about 150 to 200 yards passing a game. We really have the opportunity to have one of the top three defenses, and I think not only do the players have have the offseason, but now you're giving Howard Mudge, you're giving Washburn, you're giving these guys extra time, and we have the personnel. So I just think, man, I mean, sky is really the limit. But another thing, a lot of people are sleeping on Mike Kafka, man. I don't think he's really got a fair shake, man, to have the full offseason. I think I'm really rooting for him to have a strong offseason. What are your guys' thoughts about Mike Kafka?
The Eagles brass loves Mike Kafka. They have very high hopes for him. They believe that he is a very quality number two quarterback and a lower level starting quarterback in this league. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Kafka does this offseason. Remember, as we've said, sort of been a theme on the show. This is his first full offseason working with the team. And I think in terms of the offense in general, the biggest thing I want is for them to just protect the ball, because if they're not beating themselves, no defense in the league is going to be able to stop them, you know, possession after possession after possession. There are so many weapons on this team. They just need to hold on to the ball, and they're going to score plenty of points.
Are you guys, Chris and Bo, are you guys confident with McNutt and what's my guy's name from University of Florida, Rocker? What's
from
his name?
From Riley Cooper.
Riley Cooper. Are you guys confident with those two to be our big body receiver?
Yeah, well, and again, as I said before, don't count out Jeremy Maclin as a big body receiver. He's a very good red zone receiver. But I think I'm not expecting too much of Marvin McNutt as a rookie. I think Riley Cooper is the guy who once again, first full offseason working with the coaching staff. He's a guy who I think could make an impact this year. He's very, you talked to him in the studio. He has high hopes for this season.
Both are guys that weren't receivers going into college. I mean, Riley Cooper was a baseball player first and foremost. It looked like that's where he was going to be developing his career. And then he didn't get extensive playing time at Florida. He played 4 years at Florida, but he didn't get extensive playing time until his junior and senior seasons. Before that, he was primarily on special teams. Marvin McNutt went to college as a quarterback, then was, you know, transitioned into being a receiver and had a lot more production than Cooper did in his college career. But still, I just feel like that Cooper was at least acknowledging the things that he needs to work on, and that's how to use that big body of his. Use what he put as use the gifts that God gave him. And that big body is the biggest thing, because that's the one thing that I think fans have been waiting to see from him, especially in the red zone situations, is the ability to go up and get the football. If that's something that I think there's some of it that's innate, and I think there's some of it that you also have to learn. And I think he's got the natural athletic ability. It's just that coaching aspect of it, and something that I think that Coach Culley will be, and this is something I would actually like to talk to Coach Culley about later today when we have a chance to chat with him, is what can he do? What kind of upside does he think that he and McNutt both have, and how much fun or how far is he looking to getting these guys into these OTAs and seeing them out there on the field?
Yeah, I think Riley Cooper is a better athlete, but he's very athletic. But last question, guys, if the season started today, Bo and Chris, who would you pick? I think Deion Lewis is our second running back. Who would you pick as a third running back right now if the season was to start today?
All right. Thanks for the call, Shannon. We're going to wrap things up soon, but he wants to know if you season started today, who would be the number two running back? I say it's definitely Deion Lewis. No question about it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw these guys, T-shirts and shorts, no pads. The biggest thing with them, and this goes to the fullback position with Stanley Hevillian, if he's going to be able to win the job, how do these guys do from a blocking standpoint? I'm sure Deion Lewis was, from an offensive standpoint, as a running back, ready to be out there on the field last season for a bigger, more extended role, but a lot of it comes down to pass protection. That's what you have to be able to do in this offense. And until we see it from Bryce Brown and Chris Polk on the field, I'm giving the edge there to Deion Lewis.
He also asked who you think would be the third, and I would go with Bryce Brown.
I would lean towards that as well at this point, yes. It seems to me Polk was very productive in his career at Washington, but I just feel like there is an upside to Bryce Brown. It was such
you listen to Howie Roseman and Andy Reid talk about Bryce Brown, and they're very excited about him. He's the guy who they're not gonna push aside.
Howie and Andy are on the same page this offseason, so yeah. I think Howie Reid actually wouldn't be far off. So
all right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Eagles Live. Thanks so much for calling in, giving us your thoughts. Thanks to Clark Judge of CBSSports.com, and thanks to the fake Clark Judge for giving us something to laugh about on this day. C-Mac, OTAs begin tomorrow. What's the what's